all the skills that we've been talking about in this program have to do with increasing the power of your mind, increasing the power of your energy, and taking that energy and creating more of a sensitivity to everything around you. Remote viewing, remote sensing is no different. That's primarily what we're doing. Like I said, the difference is the intent of what we want to do. So as we specifically go into the techniques to do this, the techniques are going to be designed to do the remote viewing. Now, the other difference between remote viewing and astral projection is that astral projection, I never like to say physically because you're really spiritually going, but you're taking your whole body with you, so to speak. Whereas in remote viewing, you don't necessarily have to, although a lot of remote viewers are astral projecting to the place as well. But a large portion of those remote viewers are really setting up the screen inside of their head. So they're tapping into the third eye, and they're seeing the image cut flash in there. So you're going to have several different ways to do it. In some cases, you may actually physically go there or spiritually go there. And the other way is that you get the flashes in your head, in your mind's eye, and you start to see them and interpret what you're seeing. Those are the two main things that you're going to notice within remote viewing. Two different ways to do it. I was speaking with a gentleman a short time ago, and he said he had been able to remote view when he was younger, and then all of a sudden he started doing it again, but it was a spontaneous thing. He wasn't really trying it, but he was able to see what his girlfriend was doing at any given time, and then he would call her up and say, "Hey, I know what you were doing. You were doing this, this, and this specifically," and she was freaked out, like, "How in the world did you know that?" And you know, he started training with some of these concepts and started to understand how to utilize those skills and how to get better at it without it being so spontaneous and something that just, you know, happens, and he didn't understand why it was happening. And so that's kind of a spontaneous remote viewing, because again, a remote viewing is different than a psychic prediction or a psychic intuition. I mean, you may get an intuition that something's going to happen to somebody. You may get an intuition that somebody is in danger. That's a different sensation than actually seeing what somebody's doing, feeling what they're doing at that time. It's a slightly different, because it doesn't necessarily, it's not something that's queued up because of a high stress situation, which in which case we're talking about the psychic type of phenomena where somebody's in a high tense situation, their chi actually comes over to you. You get a glimpse of what's going on, and you can say, "Oh my, somebody's in danger." It's not like that at all. It's more of a just, you know, I mean, somebody could be just going through their normal day, and you could see what they're doing. Now, let's talk a little bit about some exercises, some things we can do in order to get good at doing remote viewing. Like I mentioned before, in terms of the government remote viewing, they are picking a target, and they're going to practice going to the target. That's one way we can do it, and that's fine. You can focus in that area. That's not a problem at all. And to practice that, obviously go into your meditation. You relax down. Any remote viewer that's worth their weight is going to be really into the relaxation, into the meditation. They may not call it a relaxation. They may call it a cool down. They may call it a getting ready period. They may call it a relax down. They may call it getting set. Whatever they call it, it's relaxing the body down. They're going to use many of the methods that we've already talked about. They're going to also use their own methods. I heard one remote viewer that I spoke to said that the way he relaxed down is he felt like he was in a pool of water, and as he got deeper and deeper and deeper into the water, he finally got to that state where he was able to start to view, to start to sense things, to start to see what's going on. So it's really a personal preference. That's why I've kept this course as open as possible, because there are some instructions out there that are going to tell you to do things step by step, and they're going to say you have to do it this way. Well, I realize that not everybody is linked up the same way, psychically, mentally, physically, doesn't matter. They're not going to be the same. And so we don't want to put such a stringent protocol on everything so that you can't relate to it. We want to make it so that you're most comfortable, because that's what's going to cause you to do a good job in these types of things. Now, with remote viewing, it's beneficial if you have a partner, because you can use a controller when you're doing your remote viewing. And the way you would do this is you would have an envelope and you would have your controller. There's two ways to do it. The first way would be you can get the controller to take an envelope and take, you can take pictures, photographs, whatever, doesn't matter, and shuffle them up. Let's say 5 or 6 different photographs that the controller doesn't even know about. And the controller would put them in the envelope, close it up, lock it up, and you would go into your session. You would go into your remote viewing session. Once you get relaxed down, you would start focusing on the envelope, what's inside the envelope, and talking to your subconscious mind, you know, start feeding me the information. Your subconscious mind is going to feed you the information when you're relaxed and when the mind is still. Don't forget that. I mean, as you get better and better, what you're going to find is that there's a lot less period of time that it takes for you to get your mind still and that you get your body relaxed down. I mean, very good people that are good at this type of thing are going to be able to relax their body down in just a matter of minutes, maybe even seconds, maybe even just tell their body, relax down, close their eyes, and they can start seeing things. I know people like that. I can do that sometimes, but it's hard. I mean, again, you have to practice constantly in order to get to that mode. This is going to take a lot of flight time. Remote viewing might take more flight time than almost anything that we're doing here. But again, if you look at all the skill sets we're looking at, they all take time. I mean, it's not something that's just, you just practice once and you're going to be a remote viewer. You're going to have to practice. So you have your partner put the picture, the photograph, the design, whatever it is, into. It's better, if, especially for remote viewing, that you put something physical in there, such as a place, a person, something to that effect. Close up the envelope, get into your meditation practice, your posture, relax down, and then start going and viewing what you can view. And you're basically asking your subconscious mind to dump all that information to you. And then what you would do is you would either explain it to your partner, or you would have a pad of paper next to you and you would just pick up and start writing while you're still in that relaxed mode, kind of like an automatic writing type of situation. Or you could explain it to your partner. Now, that's the first way of doing it. The second way of doing it is where your partner actually knows what the picture is in the envelope. And so, therefore, they would actually look at the picture and kind of flash that information to you through their subconscious mind. So you would actually tap into their third eye and subconscious mind and retrieve that information. Depending upon how good of a visualizer they are and you are, you may have an easier time to pick that information up. And if you look back at one of the other sections on mind-to-mind communication, we go into a lot of exercises that are very similar, but they're not remote viewing exercises. They're primarily mind-to-mind communication, but it's very similar type stuff. And so you would do that and try to pick out the target, and then you would draw what the target was and then see what your accuracy rate was. And your accuracy rate is going to be different. I mean, don't think that the first time you do it, you're going to hit the nail on the head. You may. That's fine. But again, it's going to take practice, constant practice. So that's the first method that you want to do. The second method you're going to want to do is a little different. And once you see what we're doing with all these different methods, if you really want to become a remote viewer, when you do them all, you start to get a sense that this is a wide open type of technology. And I want to give you enough techniques so that you can kind of pick and choose what worked best for you.